when we run the show. So I gotta, I feel like every night, Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday, I feel like a DJ. You know what I mean? I feel like I'm the DJ. And so we're back in the studios, and I'm so glad that everyone had a great weekend here in North Carolina. It was in the high 70s, and beautiful, beautiful weather, and we're very, very thankful for that. But I'm also thankful for the weekend to get refreshed so I can be back here with all of you lovely folks that make up the Impacting Life 24/7 audience. And of course, we're based right here at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, the Marine Corps base. I'm not on Camp Lejeune, but I can throw a stone and almost hit it, the largest Marine Corps base in the world. You know, one of the things that I always say that I'm very, very grateful for is that every single night, Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday at 8:30, I get to introduce to you all people that are super, super great. In fact, I consider them superheroes. And my guest tonight is nothing less than a superhero. And I'm sure he'd want to be a superhero. I might ask him what superhero he'll be when we go live. But the reason why people are superheroes in my mind is because their story is making an impact, or they're making an impact based off of life events, a book, a process, a thought. And every night I want to share those types of people with you. I'll tell you about this guy, man. It's so cool because he's got the same name as me. Most of y'all never get to hear what my first name is, but my friend Chris D.T. Gordon is a faithful husband. He's a father of three. He's an online middle school special education teacher, a professional speaker, podcast host. He's a co-author. He's a blazing runner. He's recommended for a black belt in Taekwondo. He is a pop culture geek. Yes, he is. I know you can't tell by looking at him, but for my online audience, he is a pop culture geek. He also is a survivor of NF, the flesh-eating bacteria. And that's kind of what brought us together. I was actually on his show several weeks ago. And he uses his story and message to inspire middle school students to adopt the attitude of gratitude. The attitude of gratitude. We're going to talk about that tag right there. And positivity to forge their future. Man, I want to be around people that are speaking gratitude into the atmosphere. Listen, fueled by his desire to improve his own life after his life-altering ordeal, Chris has set numerous personal lifetime running records. I mean, the man can flat out run. He secured a recommended black belt. We told you that. And he's earned additional special education teaching licenses. And he's been chosen to speak about his experience to audiences, both in person and online. He is truly an inspiration. And I am so glad that I got to twist his arm a little bit to bring him on. I should have probably said that. I got to twist his arm a little bit to bring him on Impacting Life 24/7. I want you, ladies and gentlemen, out there in Impacting Life world to welcome my friend, Mr. Chris D.T. Gordon. Welcome, Chris.
CL, it is an absolute pleasure to be with you today, sir. I greatly appreciate the opportunity.
Man, I tell you what, Chris, it's almost like a family reunion, isn't it?
Yes, it is. You know, I we have the same sheen.
Yeah, man. Got the
same chrome dome. You can't tell us apart. We're almost twins.
We're almost twins, but I should have just let my little ginger beard grow out a little bit. We'd be on it, man. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm blessed to have Chris D.T. Gordon with us. And I was just on his show not too long ago, several weeks ago. I think his show, he's actually produced it, and we'll be sharing that later on in the week. But Chris is a phenomenal man because I talk about this all the time, ladies and gentlemen, that adversity, if you live long enough, it will come. And so we're going to unpack Chris's story. It's going to really, really touch you and transform you tonight, all of our listeners. But I want everyone to connect with Chris. So, Chris, before we get started down our journey, because me and you could probably, since we're both speakers, we probably could talk all night. So let's get the particulars out of the way first. Chris, tell people how they can contact you, brother.
Certainly. They can reach me at linktr.ee/ Chris D.T. Gordon. That's G-O-R-D-O-N. And there you can find my podcast, Scar Bearers. And actually, you are on my YouTube channel today, CL. You're episode drop today.
Nice.
And then the podcast episode drops on Thursday.
Nice.
You can also find my Facebook, my Instagram, my LinkedIn, my speaking websites, a link to the book I co-authored, Business Life in the Universe, Volume 3. I have a tag one sheet that we'll talk about a little later, and a couple other things that I really hope people go check out. Because as you said, I want to use my story to inspire and make the world a better place.
Yeah. And thank you, Greg, for our team that are helping us on the live show. Thanks, Greg. He's already got your links up there. And that's just what I love about efficiency. Greg is one of the most efficient men in show business. So he's got your links up there, and we're going to keep connecting folks to Chris D.T. Gordon. He's my friend. He's my brother. And he's a fellow adversity overcomer. And when you hear the story, you'll see why we had to have him. And I was looking at his show in a mutual place that he and I frequent on a podcast collab group. And I saw scar bearers, and I'm like, you know, I've got internal scars, and I wonder if I might be a good fit for a show. Then when we started talking, it's like, man, you need to be on our show too, because I've got the internal scars and you've got the external scars from an internal situation. So Chris, before we go into the next part, I'd like for you to just give people a snippet, a little bit about yourself, man. Get us up to speed on how you got to where you are today. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Certainly, CL. Well, I am 46 years old. I live with my wife, Becky, and our three wonderful kids, Josh, Seth, and Anna, in New Ulm, Minnesota. And if that sounds German, you are absolutely correct. I was just telling CR before we hit record that we actually have the second largest copper statue in the United States. It's of our Bavarian hero, Hermann the German, who fought off the Romans in the Battle of Teutoburg Forest in 9 AD.
You know, that's a little.
What's that?
I said that's a little known history fact for our folks.
Yes. And if it sounds like I've given that fact on a history tour, it's because I have, in Lederhosen even. I teach, as you said before, middle school special education online for a school called Minnesota Virtual Academy. As you also said, I'm an avid runner. I love hitting the trails, but in fact, my wife blessed me with a treadmill this past Christmas. And as today were pummeled by a snowstorm, I'm very thankful that she did, because, you know, a treadmill helps you save a lot of laundry detergent, especially in the Midwest.
Right.
And for those who are listening to us, you know, only by audio, you can't see it, but I'm a little bit of a geek. I have my Avengers Hawaiian shirt because I want to think warm. Like I said, we just got hit by a snowstorm. I'm thinking happy, warm thoughts. I have the Ninja Turtles and Deadpool behind me. You know, I'm surrounded by Transformers to my right. I got another Optimus Prime and some Simpsons stuff to my left. And so I just love being a geek, especially in this time of age of the Marvel Cinematic Universe and Star Wars. Because when growing up, if you said that you like comic books, you bought yourself a one-way ticket to a locker.
Right. Yeah.
You're there right away. And so I just love living the geek life.
Well, you know, and the cool thing about it is, you know, ladies and gentlemen, he's been recommended for a black belt in Taekwondo, so I don't think anybody's going to call him a geek. But one, Chris, okay, let's ask this question, because this is just not on the script, which, of course, most of our stuff isn't on the script. Which superhero would you be, or who do you consider yourself as the superhero? Which one are you?
Well, you know, I have two trains of thought on this.
Okay.
Deal. First of all, and we'll get into this, I feel like I'm a little bit Deadpool. And I might show you a little bit of that reason in our conversation. But, you know, he and I are both snarky. We both sometimes turn to an invisible camera and say some weird things, you know, like there's an audience member there. But I also resonate with a character called One Punch Man.
Okay.
His name is actually Saitama. He's a Japanese anime and manga character.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like a combination of Superman and Spider-Man, mm-hmm. because he can defeat any villain with one punch, hence the name. However, this guy can't get any respect. He's like the Rodney Dangerfield of superheroes.
Okay.
He can't get any respect. Anything that happens, you know, any calamity or disaster he averts, he doesn't get the credit for it. Someone else gets the credit, or he's blamed for the damage that happens. And so it's a really funny parody and take of the superhero genre and of anime. But I like it because I can cosplay it as him. And I have, because he's skinny and bald. So I figured, oh, I fit the bill right
there.
Well,
you qualify there, Chris.
Yes, I check all the boxes.
So thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in, our live audience. So thankful for folks passing by. People pass by all throughout the show. And I'm joined in our virtual studios with Chris D.T. Gordon. He's an amazing man. He's the author of a book that we're going to uncover here in just a few moments, The Business Life and the Universe, Volume 3. He's also the podcast host of Scar Bears, the Scar Bears podcast. You can find that on Apple, on all the major platforms. And also, I would love for you to go check out his website at chrisdtgordon.com. So, Chris, here we are. You and I are the same age. Can you believe that, brother?
You know, I wish I looked half as good as you did. You do at your age, I tell you.
We don't cut the checks till after the podcast, so hang tight. All
right.
But I think I would be Iron Man, because he's just a little bit above the, and I don't mean that in an arrogant way, but he has a mojo about him, you know, a swagger about him.
He plays at a different level.
Yeah, yeah. He's getting down in with dirt under his fingernails. That's not him. Iron Man is a whole nother breed. But Chris, you and I being 46, we've traveled down roads. You're from Michigan. Now you live in Minnesota with your lovely wife and three children. And you know, we think that at our stage in life, you know, once you hit 40, I heard everyone say, once you hit 40, you know, it all goes down. It all goes downhill. And, you know, in my 30s, I mean, I spent a good time in my 30s. My 20s, obviously, I was in the Marine Corps. But your 40s introduced and ushered in a time frame that most people wouldn't probably be on my show talking about, because it was so dynamic and so dramatic. So, you know, I want you to give us an education, you know, not just tell us about what happened to you, but kind of the education piece, because you're a teacher, on what that condition was, the flesh eating disease that you contracted. So help us understand what happened and how that started, and let's go down that journey.
Certainly. So in March of 2015, specifically March 18th, 2015, I was helping my wife Becky load our three young kids into our van so she could take them to daycare and school. She is also a teacher at the local high school here in New Ulm, and she would drop them off on her way to her own teaching position. Well, our young son Seth, the one of the twins, was being a little pokey, so I decided to help him out and fly him back and forth to our detached garage. Well, I veered too far to the right, and I scraped the back of my right hand on my garage wall. Well, I'm a former boy, CL. I've had scratches before. It wasn't bleeding profusely, so I didn't think too much of it. I put him into the van, I kissed everyone goodbye, and as soon as they left, I went inside, I cleaned out the wound, and I went upon my day. 3 days later, I wake up on a Saturday, and I have a lacrosse ball-sized bump on my right elbow. Mm. Now, I don't know about you guys in North Carolina. I usually don't wake up like that.
Yeah. Not under normal circumstances, Chris.
Yeah, it's not a Minnesota thing. So I go to the urgent care clinic here in town, and they say it might be bursitis. You know, they really don't have an idea. They say, keep an eye on it. Let us know if something happens. Well, over the next 10 hours, something did happen. That bump grew and grew and grew until my right arm was triple the size of my left.
Oh my.
I basically look like the Incredible Hulk in mid-transformation.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. You know, right. Bruce Banner on the left, Hulk smash on the right.
Right.
And not only that, but my skin was tender. I was lethargic. I had gotten sick multiple times throughout the day. And by the time that we had gotten a babysitter to watch the kids, who were already asleep, thankfully, at 8 o'clock, Becky took me to the emergency room. They quickly admitted me because, again, ginormous arm, but they found an additional problem. Not only did I have a giant arm, but they couldn't get an accurate blood pressure reading on me because I had gone into septic shock.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And for those who don't know what sepsis is, it's when there's a foreign body in your bloodstream, they send out a chemical into the bloodstream to fight off the infection. However, sepsis has an itty bitty little side effect of killing you if things go wrong.
Right.
So I had two very dire situations going on, and they still had no idea what it was. They kept me overnight, and in the morning, that attending doctor said, "We don't know what this is. Where do you want to go?" Well, I live in Minnesota. I'm 2 hours from Rochester, so I stay the Mayo Clinic. Not only because it's the Mayo Clinic, but because Becky's parents live in Rochester.
Right.
And I knew that they would have a place to stay for the, I'm sure, CL. This would take no more than 2 or 3 days to resolve itself.
Get it cleared up. Yep.
Yeah. No. Took a little longer. So they load me into a hard light plane and fly me to Rochester. Meanwhile, Becky gets the kids and the dog and a couple sets of clothing for each of them. And she drives to Rochester, drops them off at mom and dad's house. And then she and dad go to the hospital and they meet us at the hospital as I'm being wheeled in. The doctors quickly diagnosed me with necrotizing fasciitis, which as you said, is also known as flesh eating bacteria.
Mm.
What happened was there was strep in the area, and Group A strep, also known as Streptococcus pyogenes, is what is the culprit for causing many cases of NF, or necrotizing fasciitis.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what was going on inside my body. By the time they were prepping me for surgery, the infection had gotten all the way to the base of my neck.
Oh my.
And it had encompassed my right arm, my shoulder, my right chest, and my right side of my back.
You were running out of time.
Yes, I was. But the thing was, they had no shortage of painkillers. So they were giving me ready to go. And this is the last thing I remember going into surgery, was the surgeon, Dr. Morey, he sat down in front of me. And he was about to tell me what was going to happen. CL, have you ever seen the movie True Lies?
Oh, yeah. With Arnold Schwarzenegger. Yep. Yep.
Yes. Yeah. Do you remember the scene where he's drugged with the truth serum and he ends up telling his captors how he's going to escape and kill them all?
Right.
That was basically me without the murder.
Oh, wow.
I was very confident. I almost cocky. I was ready to go. I'm like, all right. Let's do this.
Let's get this over with. Let's go.
You know, because I look like a drunk Professor X.
Yeah.
Basically. Because my head's lolling back and forth. I got this little smirk on my face. Dr. Morey was not ready for that. He's used to people crying and weeping and being scared.
Right.
And I'm about to jump out of the chair and jump onto the operating table for him.
All right. So,
yeah, I'm ready to go.
Right.
And so they ended up knocking me out for 5 days. I was in a coma for 5 days.
Oh, wow.
And in that time, the first surgery was to basically remove or fillet me like a fish. They removed all the infected skin. I can show you where that was. So here's my arm.
Right.
And then it goes all the way up
Oh wow.
The right side here. You can see they even took off a nipple. Wow. So whenever I go to the beach and I take off my shirt, my chest looks like it's winking at people.
Oh my.
Yes, I'm very fresh in almost every sense of the word.
Yes, sir.
So they take off the skin, but they noticed that the infection had gone so far into my right hand that they decide that they're gonna amputate. The arm's gone. That's what they told Becky before the second surgery. But before they even had, before they did that, thankfully, the occupational therapist in attendance saw that I still had hand function. Mm-hmm. So what they elected to do was they removed a 15 inch by 4 inch flap of skin from my left thigh and placed it on my right hand and forearm. And so since this is my thigh on my hand, I call this my thand.
Thigh on his hand. Oh my goodness.
Yes, and you could tell that if you look close enough, you can see the arm hairs on this part are a little longer than the hairs here.
Right, right.
So yes, and it smells oddly like feet too.
Yeah.
After all this time. So, but as we said before, I'm a runner. So I have rather large quadricep muscles.
Right.
The wound that was left after that extraction was so large that they could not close the wound naturally. So what they elected to do was they removed my vastus lateralis, which is my outermost quadricep muscle. So instead of a quad, I have a tri in my left thigh.
Oh, and then my.
They installed a pair of knobs on either side of my wound and then a Jacob's ladder, which is like a shoestring contraption inside the wound so they can tighten it up over time.
Mm. Now, let me pause you right there because I've had several bouts with wounds. Wound clinic and wound care is just, it was almost barbaric. It was so painful. Was that piece painful for you, the care after that?
For a time, no, because like I said, the drugs were really good.
Okay, good. Well, I'm glad they were in good supply.
Yeah, you know, to coin Pink Floyd, I was comfortably numb.
Okay, there you go.
A lot of it. But then again, the downside of that is I had some crazy hallucinations.
Oh, yeah.
Again, to quote Pink Floyd.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen, let's see. I thought the Macarena was playing in my ICU room.
Oh, hey,
nope. For people who don't know, there is no radio in the ICU room. And they wouldn't play the Macarena ad nauseum.
No.
I thought the window was open and bugs were flying around. Again, this is March in Minnesota.
Yeah, there's
at the Mayo Clinic. The room's not the windows are not going to be open.
Right.
Let's see what else. Oh, I thought the room flipped upside down.
Oh my. So yeah,
I was sitting there with Becky, holding her hand. I blink my eyes. Everything's flipped 180. And thankfully she was calm because she just kept saying, "Sweetie, the room's not upside down.
Disclosure.
You were hallucinating. You were okay."
So so let me just pause here real quick, ladies and gentlemen. I'm joined by Mr. Chris D.T. Gordon. And if you have missed the first part of his story, I'm begging you to go back and watch the replay because just unpacking the details associated with him dealing with a flesh-eating bacteria is really, it's got me on the edge of my seat. I told him he needs to just go ahead and write his own book about this, and he'll do that in the near future. But so you get something taken out of your quad. To where does that get put?
That gets put on my right hand and forearm.
Okay.
Yep. And the reason why they had to do that is also because there was an artery that was removed from the infection. So they had to take that part of my leg to basically help me save my arm. Because without the fan, I would have lost the arm.
Wow. And they were. I mean, I'm glad that the attending physician, the other physician said, "Hey, look, he's still got movement, or feet, you know, this is still functional." because yeah. I guess they were looking at, okay, we need to preserve life versus limb. And mm-hmm. Were you consulted on that, or that was the decision they were making?
That was done when I was out.
Okay.
Yeah, that was during my siesta.
I got you.
It was literally that decision was made during the surgery, because like I said, they were determined. I mean, they were set on taking the arm when they wheeled me in for surgery number two.
Now, remember, we talked about this, that for those who don't remember, Chris and I are the same age, 46 years old. And this happened as he crossed over into the threshold of the 40s. At 40 years old, this went down. Something so non-consequential, you know, something that you just scraped your hand and you would have never thought. Was there anything that you could have done to have prevented that? Probably not, huh?
Not scraping my hand.
Well, yeah, outside of that, but there was.
Yeah, you know, really, I mean, I had never even heard of necrotizing fasciitis.
Right.
I mean, I've heard of flesh-eating bacteria, but, you know, in my comic books.
Right, right, you
know,
right.
Or some weird story you might read, you know, in the supermarket line when you're waiting to get checked out.
Right. The Star magazine.
Yeah, you know, the Inquirer.
Right.
Where your minds want to know how this guy lost his arm, you know?
So they're sewing you back up, or they're getting you back together, but the road to recovery had to be arduous, huh?
Yes. And, you know, not only were they taking off, you know, parts of my leg, but they were also taking parts of my skin, the top layer of the skin for this, because they removed a huge portion of the skin off my right side. They had to cover that with skin grafts. So they take what's called a skin graft harvester, or as I call a cheese grater on steroids, and ran that up and down my back and my thighs. Now, CL, you could probably look at me and think, wow, that guy must have a great tan in the summer. Well, I'll tell you what, if I look like I'm kidding, I am, because I don't. Those parts that the skin graft harvesting sites are even worse. So it looks like I dumped whiteout on my legs.
Oh, wow.
It is. Yeah. You remember the movie Powder?
I don't remember that one. No.
Okay. Basically, the guy is like just blazing white.
Right.
That's me in shorts.
Okay.
Basically, especially in those places where the skin graft harvesting sites are.
Right.
They just take up the top skin, top layer skin, and that's what they put on these. Okay. And so that's why I look like Deadpool here, because right. Skin grafts do not have any fat in them.
Right.
So I am literally and figuratively ripped.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, and I could also double as a, double as a Walking Dead extra. So I get my SAG card.
Let me pause here for 1 second before we go to our sponsor commercial. This is one thing that has inspired me in our 30 minutes plus, you know, our time together as friends, has inspired me about Chris D.T. Gordon, who's our guest on Impacting Life 24/7. Do you notice the joy and the humor and the laughter that Chris has when he's telling this story? Now, it could be very easy and justifiably so that Mr. Chris could tell this with a sense of, you know, why me, and, you know, life is not fair, and, you know, I was dealt a bad hand of cards. But at every interval, Chris has something funny to say. We're going to get back to Chris in just a second. I want to take a moment real quick to say thank you to our sponsors. Our sponsors are the people who help keep this engine going, the train of Impacting Life 24/7, and our gold sponsors. Our new gold sponsors always get a commercial on the show for as long as they're a sponsor. So Greg Smith, he is the author of 100 Simple Ways How to Manage Your Property and Evidence Room. I want you to get a copy of his book by reaching out to Greg on Facebook, or you can email him at smithg1963@yahoo.com. Michelle Perry, who we've had on this show, she's a part of our Leadership Institute. I've been on her show. She is the founder of the Successful Diligence LLC, and also the host of the Successful Diligence podcast. She is the best-selling author of The Pebble in My Shoe, and I want you to connect with Michelle and get a copy of her book at SuccessfulDiligence.com. Adrian Barker, who will be on our show in just a mere few hours, it seems like, just a couple days. She's the host of the Adrian Barker Speaks podcast. She is a life coach and CEO of Professional Global Etiquette. I want you to connect with her at ProfessionalGlobalEtiquette.com. And the CL King Group Incorporated is also a gold sponsor. So back to my friend, the superhero, One Punch Chris DT Gordon, the ninja, the black belt, the taekwondo, the runner, the man, the myth, and the legend. You got how many surgeries to get you back functional, or at least on the road to functioning?
My plastic surgeon and I counted that I had endured 15 surgeries.
15 surgeries. And what type of, like, Laura, you know, us 46-year-olds, this goes, you talk about drugs, brother. I had a lot of issues too. So my brain is fried from medicated, doctor authorized drug use. So sometimes I forget. But when you talk about physical therapy, did you have to go through all of that?
Yes, I did. Not only while I was in the hospital, but I had 3 weeks of home therapy where an occupational therapist would come to, first of all, my in-laws' house where I stayed for the first 10 days. And then for the balance of the home therapy, they came to my house and we worked out in the basement. And then for the next 6 months, I would go to outpatient physical therapy here in New Ulm. And being that I am a little bit driven to the point of, almost mania, some would say. A lot of times I would either run or bike to physical therapy.
Wow, because he's just a nut, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to make a superhero. It's called Super Captain DT or something. That's who you were going to be, brother. So everybody's wanting to know, you know, and we don't have to let your whole secret out, but can you tell us what the DT stands for, Chris?
You know, I like to live like it means darn terrific.
That's all we want. We're going to leave it right there. Don't you dare tell him anything else.
All right.
Chris Darn Terrific is a part of our show. He is, man, he's got so many things that he has overcome, especially with the you know. Listen, here's what I want to say, and I know Chris will probably elaborate on this and echo my sentiments, that one day you can be loading your kids up in the car, and then the next day, your whole life can be absolutely altered. When Chris was loading his kids in the car and playing with his son, and everything that seemed to be normal was happening until life happened and adversity happened. And Chris was facing the amputation of his arm. He got stricken with a flesh-eating disease, and they were looking to say, okay, if we don't cut his arm off, we might lose Chris. Now, you've told the story of someone who had something similar and they didn't make it, right?
That's right. Unfortunately, a week before I was hospitalized, another gentleman was diagnosed with necrotizing fasciitis. He did lose his arm, and then sadly, he did pass away.
Wow.
And so at my lowest point, I had a 1 in 3 chance of survival myself, actually less than that. You know, about 30%. And so that's not even including the arm. And so there was a period of time when I was still, you know, in a coma where I was not guaranteed life.
Wow. And you know, the thing about that, Chris, is for all of us, life isn't guaranteed. But you were getting ready to see, okay, you know, for us, we think, okay, I got another 30, 40 years left to live on this earth. But you were, you know, death was facing you like imminently, you know, with a 30% chance of survival. And the infection rate of this disease, though, isn't that high in the country, right?
No, every year between 700 and 1,200 people are infected with NF every year, diagnosed with NF every year. That's what I saw on my latest check of the CDC website.
Right.
So it's quite rare.
Wow.
But, you know, it's, I believe the fatality of, depending on the person, because, you know, there are comorbidity factors,
right.
But you know, the depending on the person, the rate of death could be up to 60%. Wow. You know, if the person has other mitigating circumstances.
Absolutely. So now here we are 6 years removed from all of this. In terms of lingering effects, is there anything that still bothers you from it? I mean, any type of peripheral issues that you have, or is everything?
Well, I tell you, my volleyball block is not what it used to be. Because you notice, here's my left arm,
right,
straight up,
right.
Here's my right.
Oh,
and this is if I'm really stretching.
Whoo.
You can see,
right.
I'm not a good blocker on the line there. Okay. More of a libero, actually. Yeah. But it, you know, I am a little stiff though, but I mean I could do full pull-ups, or I guess 99% pull-ups. I kind of lean to the right a little bit.
Yeah.
The good thing is that I am now a master of the polar plunge.
Okay.
Because skin grafts, not only are they non-porous, but they also lack nerve endings for the most part.
Nice.
So I could jump in, I could jump in an ice cold lake and come out. Hey guys, go in there. The water's fantastic. And everyone's shivering like this. The downside of that is I don't have nerve endings, which right. means if I go sledding, and I've done this a few times, and I bump my elbow, you notice I have a little bumpy elbow there.
Yeah.
I could cut it wide open, not feel a thing.
Wow.
And I remember a couple months ago, my son and I went sledding. I'm wearing a sweatshirt. I wear the sweatshirt until I go to bed. I take off the sweatshirt. I get in the bed. I kind of put my elbow on my hand, my left hand. Why is my hand wet? Why is my hand red?
Mm-hmm.
Why are my sheets red?
Right.
You know, it was a little freaky to say, oh, that happened. Okay. Yeah. Let's get the wound back. You know, let's get the antiseptic spray and stuff. And
yeah,
I have to be careful about that. And like I said before, it's non-porous. Right. So it doesn't sweat. When I go running in the summertime, especially for long runs, or if I'm running in the middle of the day, I usually take a water bottle with me and I spray it on the skin grafts to cool them down a little bit.
Oh, wow. Because, yeah, is that potential like overheating or?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've done a little reading, and I don't know of anything, you know, like a human equivalent of a pressure cooker.
Right.
But it gets toasty in there.
It's toasty.
Let me tell you. Yeah. I mean, there have been a number of times where I would take a compression sleeve and put an ice pack in there and I would go run, and then like two miles into the run, it's melted already.
Wow. Yeah, it gets hot.
And when the cold is so concentrated in that area, I can definitely feel that.
Right.
I mean, it has to be like a concentrated amount of heat or cold for me to feel it with these babies.
So thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in to Impacting Life 24/7 on our podcast, which is heard from coast to coast and in 9 different countries. We're thankful to have as our guest Chris D.T. Gordon. He is the co-author of the book Business Life and the Universe, Volume 3. He's also, you can find him on his Scar Bearers podcast. He is the host of the Scar Bearers podcast. You can find that on all major podcast outlets. And I would love for you to go and check out Chris at chrisdtgordon.com. Chris is a motivational speaker, and you guys can see why, because you know, and it's cool. Chris and I have talked about this offline of doing something together because we would be kind of like, you know, ebony and ivory for sure. You know, two unique stories that it's like, okay, those kids aren't going to know whether to laugh or cry when we're finished with them, you know. But your story is just absolutely remarkable of the, you know, God's hand upon your life and your will to say, man, we're going to continue on. So after therapy and riding the therapy and biking and running the therapy and all the crazy stuff you do, then you decided, hey, listen, I haven't been in Taekwondo in a while. I dropped out of that in high school and think about getting back involved in that. Right.
Yes, sir. Yes. So the fall after my hospitalization, my older son, Josh, decided he wanted to go into Taekwondo. And so he started attending lessons. And I decided early when he started that if he would to stay, were to stay in it for a year, I would ask him if I could join him on his journey. Well, thankfully, he stayed in it for a year, and I asked him, and he said yes. So we soon were starting to attend tournaments together and classes together, and now I am a recommended black belt, which means that they took the traditional black belt test and broke it up into two sections, and I passed the first section, and now I'm studying to pass the second section. The only thing that's really hindering me is, as you said, I'm 46 years old, which means I have 46 year old hip flexors,
right?
Which aren't very flexy,
right?
So, and also I'm a runner, which is not good for flexible hips.
Right.
So I really need to focus on gravity yoga and keeping limber to make sure I can do those kicks, because just because I'm good looking doesn't mean they're going to give me a belt because of that. that's my master saying that. I don't tout that myself. He says, you know, just because you're good looking doesn't mean you get belt.
That's right. You know belt, you know good look. So
yeah,
look,
yes, sir.
So Chris, you created this nice model called TAG, T-A-G. I'd love for you to explain to our audience what your philosophy is behind that, what it means, and how you help students and folks around the country with that.
Certainly, CL. Well, remember before the break, you were talking about how I could have chosen to become negative. I could have, you know, become a why me person. Yeah. Well, that, you know, the first couple of days after my coma, I was really taking stock of what had gone on to me. And I was thinking about, you know, my arm. I had a huge arm sling on my right arm. My left leg was, you know, bandaged up and, you know, had the knob sticking out. I also had, I was also in danger of developing a blood clot. So they had those leg pumpers on your legs when you're bedridden. So sleep was a rare commodity.
Right.
Put it that way.
Yeah.
And so I'm taking all this in. I'm thinking about what is my life going to be like
right
from this moment forward. Well, one day Becky's talking to me, and she's talking about how all of our friends and family and even strangers are stepping up to help us. She's telling me about our neighbors who are shoveling our walks and snow blowing our driveways and keeping an eye on our house. She's telling me about my colleagues, some of whom, now I have colleagues all over the state of Minnesota because I teach online. Many of them, though, live in Rochester. And so they're stopping by my in-laws' house, they're dropping off food and toys for my kids. They're coming over and playing with my kids. You know, back in the day when people could play with kids before COVID.
Imagine that.
I know, exactly.
That was a thing, right?
Yeah. Oh, the humanity, you know, and people are just donating money. A friend of my wife's from high school created a GoFundMe account that raised a lot of money to help me out. And hundreds of dollars were donated by total strangers, some of whom I will never meet.
Right.
When Becky was telling me all these things, CL, every thought, every inclination of developing a negative attitude or becoming morose or even sad about my situation felt like it would be a slap in the face to anyone who stepped up to help us out.
Right.
And so that's when I developed what I now call, as you said, TAG, or the attitude of gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
I started thinking about, first of all, what were all the good things in my life? And when we ask ourselves that question, we think, oh yeah, the big things, my house, my family, my faith, my job. But then I started thinking about, what about the little things? Because when we think about it, the little things are really what give us that daily dose of joy. You know, it's sitting in your favorite chair. It's, you know, feeling if you, you know, I have an office here that has a carpeted floor. Sometimes I like to walk around barefoot in it, and I really like to feel the carpet. It's having this clothespin. Now, this is an ordinary clothespin, but it also doubles as a chip clip. And if I don't have a clip for my chip, my chips get stale, there's going to be trouble. And so I value this chip clip.
Right.
And so I started thinking of all the great things in my life. Again, not only the big things, but the small things. Wow. And I realized I'm rich. I am wealthy. I am financially well off, to quote Daffy Duck in one of the Warner Brothers cartoons.
I'm rich. I remember that one. Yeah.
I'm rich. I'm wealthy. Yeah. And so I have so much going for me. And then I thought about all the people I appreciate in my life. And again, when our minds go to that, we think about our family, our friends. And I am blessed with some fantastic friends. My best friend in college, his name is Dave. He and I were fraternity roommates. He and his wife, Beth, flew in from Montana for the weekend to come see me. And he actually abducted me from the hospital for an evening to take me to a restaurant. There's a fantastic picture of him wheeling me away, running away from the nurses.
Really?
it's a classic picture. And then my brother, Jeff, who, when Becky told him why I was in the hospital, he looked it up immediately on his phone and told her, "I'm coming out." And he immediately found a ticket for the next flight out and got on it.
Wow.
And suffered through sleeping in the hospital some nights, crying with Becky when things were really dark.
Right.
And so I will always love him. And yes, he's my brother. And sometimes we will argue.
Right.
But I will always be in debt for how he stepped up for my family.
Right.
And then I thought about the medical professionals. Now, yes, I'm in the Mayo Clinic. It's one of the best hospitals in the world. But not only were they professional and good at their jobs, but they were also kind. Some of them actually became my friends. Once in a while, when I'm able to, when I'm running in Rochester, I will run into the hospital and hopefully catch them at their shift change. Mm-hmm. To see if I can run into any of them and catch up with them.
Right.
And one story I'd really like to share is when you are in the hospital for, let's say, a couple weeks at least, they put up those posters, those getting to know you posters. Right. You may have seen one.
Yep.
And among the questions on mine was favorite movie. Now, CL, you look at me. I got the Marvel Hawaiian shirt on. Right. I got the Ninja Turtles and Deadpool behind me. You know, I like Transformers and Star Wars. So you could probably guess what movie I picked. That's right. Blazing Saddles. So I thought of what movie could I watch over and over again and not get sick of?
Okay.
So Blazing Saddles. Right. Well, one Monday morning, the head nurse, whose name is also Chris, she came in all a flutter. She almost was tripping over her own feet coming into the hospital room. She said, "Chris, I thought of you this weekend. I was at a garage sale and I saw this and I had to get it to you, for you. So here it is." She gave me a DVD copy of Blazing Saddles.
Oh, wow.
Now, I am nothing more than an item on her to-do list, CL.
That's right.
I'm a part of her job.
Right.
She didn't need to think of me on her day off, but she thought of me with such caring and such regard that she bought me a DVD of my favorite movie.
Wow.
And yes, I have the movie already on DVD at home, but I will always treasure that copy.
Yeah.
Because of the love and the friendship in which that was given.
Greg, my VP says he loves Blazing Saddles. I must confess, I've never seen it, so I'm going to go watch it now.
Oh, you need to watch it. It not only is it hilariously funny, but it's also a biting social commentary.
Okay, awesome. Yeah.
It's fantastic.
And listen, ladies and gentlemen, I would just like to add to Chris's story, which really needs no continuum. It really doesn't need any commentary from me. But what he said about the response of the people is, in my opinion, because of the response of Chris during his adversity and prior to his adversity. It's important how we live this life out loud, y'all. And he had obviously made an impact while he was in that hospital. I tried to do that when I was in. I've been hospitalized several times for long extended times, and I've tried to always be mindful of that staff. Like you say, you're just a punch ticket. But man, when you treat them kind and you show that, hey man, you know, I care about you and I thank you, man, it is reciprocated. And that had to be something that was, you know, coming, you know, from Chris D.T. Gordon, not just because he was a patient, but because of the kind of man that he was. You know, Chris, you have taken on so many great things. You just finished a St. Patty's Day run. What was that all about? You were dressed in some. What was you doing, Chris?
Well, you know, I'm not sure if you know, CL, but we're in this thing called a pandemic.
Right.
And one of the repercussions of a pandemic is there are very little to no running races.
Right.
And for a runner, it's hard to go cold turkey.
Right.
So I saw a Facebook post about a nearby Shamrock Shuffle, a 5K that was in a town half hour from me. So I figured, you know what? I'm going to run this thing. Now, I am training long-term to qualify for the Boston Marathon. And I'm working on building up my mileage, my foundation. I'm not really training for a 5K race to run it as fast as I can.
Right.
So I figure, you know what? I'm not going to win this thing. I'm not planning on it. So let's have fun with it. So I have an olive green suit, a black bowler hat, and a gold tie.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided I'm going to run as a leprechaun. I got the accoutrement on my face. You know, I'm sorry. I'm literally golden.
Right. That's right. Yep.
So I go there and it's beautiful. It's upper 30s, low 40s, and it's perfect running weather to run in a suit. So I go ahead and I run comfortably hard.
Yeah.
You know, I want to get out there, stretch the legs, you know, work the lungs a little bit. And it turns out that I actually did win. I finished first. It's a fun run, so I don't think I won, but I finished first.
Right.
The funny thing is, though, I not only won first in the 5K, I happened to win at the 3.5 mile distance because I took a wrong turn.
So Chris ran twice. I won twice.
Yeah, I won two races in one. It was the two birds option.
Yeah.
So, but really quick, CL, I wanted to get back to in the hospital. Now, I had thought of all the good things in my life. I had acknowledged, appreciated. Well, then I thought about how can I give back? What can I do to help other people?
Right.
And in the hospital, there wasn't a lot I could do. You know, I could donate to GoFundMe accounts. I could thank people online. But I couldn't do a lot physically. But once I was discharged, that's when I really started to take action.
Mm-hmm.
I started when I would go on runs, I would pick up garbage on the road or in people's yards without, you know, trespassing too far. I would help my neighbors out by mowing their lawns if they needed it, or shoveling their driveways, or snow blowing like I did today, or I would hold the door for them if they needed it, whether they were holding a bag of groceries in each hand or nothing at all.
Right.
And I found, and even though none of those costs any money to do, it's priceless for the recipient, or it can be.
Right.
And so I wanted to give someone a reason to be grateful. And that's where TAG really comes alive. Because yes, you could be thankful for things that you have. You could appreciate people, but not until you give someone a reason for them to be thankful,
mm-hmm.
does that really carry over.
Right.
And I don't know about you, CL, but playing tag by yourself is boring and a little embarrassing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like to share the feeling with others. So that's why I try to, you know, show that feeling of tag with as many people as I can so they can be grateful, because you never know what kind of day someone is having.
Wow.
And, you know, a kind gesture, no matter if it costs anything or nothing, could be the decision maker or the game changer for someone who really needs it.
Yeah, and you know, you never know who you're standing next to. You never know, and that's intentional, Chris. That's an intentional way of living. I have the young lady on that we're partners with. She created the Bless app, and it's very, very similar. She says, you know, you live on purpose. You know, you give on purpose and you live on purpose. So, Chris, you have set the mark so high. I mean, the show has just flown by. I feel like we got to do an encore presentation or something because it's so fun. I can imagine, you know, you as a motivational speaker to students. I know you have those kids just cracking up and going through, and that's the beauty of being a speaker is that, you know, you can carry this story on and you know, from this one element of adversity, you can inspire thousands of kids around the country, huh?
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping. And you know, it's funny you said middle school students, and I definitely do resonate with middle school students as I am a middle school teacher. But I've actually talked with some high school groups and my home chapter fraternity. I talked with them actually yesterday. The new generation of Theta Chi fraternity. I talked with them, and I found that I need to reach out to them as well.
Yeah.
And so I'm kind of branching out a little bit, you know, as a speaker, you try to not speak to anyone because you end up speaking to no one.
Right.
But I want, you know, not only middle school students need to hear my voice, but also high school students and those college students, because, you know, hopefully no one else contracts necrotizing fasciitis, but they have their own issues to deal with, let alone a pandemic.
Right.
That compounds all those issues. And they need to know that in their darkest days, that they have so much to live for and so much to give.
Yeah, I think that's the way God brought you through this, because he knew that there was so much more that Chris D.T. Gordon had to do and had to give. And he knew that he could trust you with this, man. Some people would have folded under all of this adversity, you know, almost 20 surgeries and uprooting, you know, totally upending your family, disrupting your whole life. And yet you've said, listen, I want to display the attitude of gratitude. And I'm just blown away. I would like to talk real quick, Chris. I can extend the show because last time I checked, they let me do that from time to time. Tell us about the book that you helped co-author and where people can find it.
Definitely. Well, again, it's called Business, Life, and the Universe, Volume 3. And it's compiled by my friend, Corey Poirier. He is the CEO of Blue Talks, which is headquartered in Canada, in Toronto. And it's a compilation of 42 different voices. You can see all those lovely pictures on the back there, in the back cover. And my chapter is called Graphs. Let's see if I can look. Oh, yeah. Grudgewall, Grafts, and Gratitude. I love my alliteration.
Yeah, that's good, brother. That was dope. That was right there.
Thanks. And so, you know, and so I share my story. I share a little more of how I came to live in Minnesota. And I also go into a little more of my hallucinations, but also you know, because I have 10 pages of story there, but also what it means to live with gratitude.
Yeah. 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 You've upped my gratitude IQ tonight, brother, you know, when you look at Chris, ladies and gentlemen, when you look at Chris D.T. Gordon, my friend and brother, my ginger brother from another mother, evidently. It was so cool. You know, all the things that lined up for Chris and I to be together, had no clue that we were the same age, the same name. I mean, it was, you know, destined for us to be together. I'm working on something. It's only in my mind right now. So you know how that works, but I love for us to put together, like, if they ever let us get back in person again, that'd be nice. But if not, and they want us to stay virtual, for you live in the virtual world. So yeah. We should do like a virtual motivational, you know, something together. Chris DT Gordon yes. and CL King. That would be hype, man.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, and that would rock the house, man. And you know, this just goes to show, ladies and gentlemen, I know that we have gone through 2020 was definitely a year, but you know, it also brought people like Chris and I together. You know, on two opposite ends of the world, two different stories, but yet adversity brought us together, and we're using that element of adversity to tell someone, hey, listen, man, you can still have an attitude of gratitude. I can tell them, hey, man, no matter the adversity, Chris, you still can make it. And the joy that Chris lives with is evident in almost everything he says. I mean, I haven't laughed this much in a show in a while, Chris. So you got it, brother. It is natural. So what I like for you to do is I'm going to give you your motivational moment, brother. Take the next 45 seconds. Speak to our audience. Give them a word of encouragement. Floor is yours.
Okay. I want you right now to pass on perfection and go for greatness. Perfection, the pursuit of perfection is futile. You might reach it once in a great while, but to always go for perfection, you're gonna run yourself ragged and for nothing to show for it. Instead, go for greatness. Be consistent in your practice, be dedicated in your responses, and be diligent in your purpose. Because when you find that you are consistent and dedicated and diligent, you might once in a while reach perfection, but you will always be great.
You will always be great, and you will always have the attitude of gratitude. Man, I'm telling you what, Chris DT Gordon, we're going to link up like Iron Man and One Punch. We're going to link up, brother, and we're going to... Because you got the arm, man. You got it.
Yes, sir.
I shouldn't have said that at the beginning. I said, man, I had to twist his arm. Did you see how terrible that was? He said, but that's okay. My arm's flexible.
And I can't, I don't feel it as much.
I can't feel pain, so I'm good.
Yeah.
So, again, Chris DT Gordon, you can find him. Let me give his website out again, chrisdtgordon.com. You can find him also on the Scar Bearers podcast. Yeah, you're right, Greg. He definitely was a great, just a great source of inspiration. They're saying very inspiring. The tagline is just so cool. And you can also check him out, check his book out. He's co-authored a book on Business, Life, and the Universe, Volume 3. I would love for you to go check that out. And he's just a man that is living his fullest life, still running, still trying to qualify for a Boston Marathon in a few years. And that right there, Chris, tells us that, hey, man, you're not going to allow the scars to stop you. Chris could sit there and look at those scars and say, I'll never qualify for the marathon. And no, but you just qualified to be a black belt in Taekwondo. Look at his scars and say, man, I'll never qualify to run a 5K. No, you actually just won the 5K, and you won it twice when you ran the wrong way. Chris, you have spoken so much life to our audience. We appreciate you. If you get some ideas, some brainstorming ideas, throw them together. You know, in this virtual world, brother, we can do a conference in a heartbeat. Or not a conference, but you know, like an event, man, where we show up and we just rock the stage together. I would love to do that with you. And the family out there in Minnesota, tell them that.
Don't you know?
Mr.
Yeah, sure, you betcha.
You, Mr. Shamrock, you. man, my superhero friend, Chris DT Gordon, man. We love you. We appreciate you, man. Thank you for spending time with us. And we'll be definitely in contact all the time. Okay, brother?
Sounds good, man. Take care.
All right, have a good night. So, ladies and gentlemen, that was Chris DT Gordon, man. What an inspirational story. The Scar Bearers podcast host. And I knew it was going to be something special when I read his story of how he... I'm just telling y'all, ladies and gentlemen, just listen to me. He was playing with his son, swinging his son back and forth, waiting to load his son up in the car, scraped his hand, and because there was some sort of strep in the air, caused an absolute 360 in his life. You know, he, I don't think he would have known that 72 hours later, the doctors were going to be looking to take his arm off. They're going to be looking to cut his arm to save his life. We truly, truly, truly have to live with a life of gratitude. And you know, one of the things he talked about was the chip clip. Well, we call them clothesline clips, but I don't know if people still put even clothes on the clothesline anymore. But he said, man, I need this to keep my chips fresh. And I'm thankful for it when it's there. You know, we give thanks for all the big things, but it's those little things that when you're facing a 30% chance of survival, those little things matter. When you're hallucinating in a room that's spinning upside down and bugs flying in the room, hallucinating at, you know, in the middle of winter, Chris D.T. Gordon, man, has taught us something tonight, ladies and gentlemen, that we've got so much to be thankful for. And again, not the big ticket items exclusively, but also, hey man, I'm glad that in the studio tonight I was able to find my red pen, because that's what I make notes on for our guests. Good thing I found it. Be a little hard to do it from memory. So that was tonight, ladies and gentlemen, Impacting Life 24/7. The show is truly just a blessing. I hope it's been a blessing to you. And again, I look forward to every night introducing someone else new to you. Tuesday night, we will have Miriam Garganis. She will be on, and she's got a great topic in terms of how she helps people gain better health and healing. And so she's also worked with veterans. It's going to be a great show. You're going to love that one. It just hits home, ladies and gentlemen, man. I could just be doing something as benign as normal, just my normal routine. That's what you usually hear. It was a routine flight. It was a routine this. And then my normal routine, I would have never thought that, you know, my life could be turned upside down. So if you'd like to be a part of this evolution that we have called Impacting Life 24/7, you'd like to become a sponsor, I'd love for you to be join our sponsorship opportunities. We've got three levels. $1, which helps keep the lights on at Impacting Life 24/7. We have a whole host of mechanisms that we use and that we pay for to bring quality broadcasting and programming to you. So $1 a month will help us with that. $5 a month gets you a commercial on the show. And for as long as you're a sponsor, that's how many times you get a commercial for life, for the life of your sponsorship. And then that's the gold level. Silver level is $1. Gold level is $5. And then platinum level is $15. And what that does is, because we understand, you know, economic times are tight and school districts are strapped, but we created this training called GEAR, helping young people get in gear, get unstuck from the place that they are. And so that helps us to be able to provide that training. It's a real, real good training, man. It walks them through four dynamic steps that when they complete that training, they're ready to go. It's not just about, okay, where do I start? They're ready to go. And so that training, we want to be able to offer that to schools at little to no cost. And so your sponsorship of $15 a month will help us provide that to schools virtually as well as in person. We're trying to make it free of charge. So again, thank you. Thank you, Greg, for always being here. You know, thank you, Mike, for watching us in the background. Listen, these guys and our team who help us with Impacting Life 24/7, they give up their Monday nights, Tuesdays, and Thursdays to sit and watch the show, to make sure that it goes well. Greg is putting out all the information of the guests, constantly moderating the conversations, because we have a live audience and we have a podcast audience. So it's a dynamic environment that we've created here. It takes a lot of work, a lot of commitment. And we started back in September of 2019. And I don't have any envisions of quitting. All right. So tune back in Tuesday. Get your daylight savings on, right? Tune back in Tuesday night, 8:30 p.m. right here with CL King on Impacting Life 24/7. Thank you so much.